Welcome to it then, another episode of The Sweet Spot brought to you by The Racing Post in association with Free Super Tips. And the main man is with us among the winners once again, Mr. Steve Palmer. We take a bow. Steve, another winner back of the net.
Well, it was a roller coaster of emotions last week, Dave. One tournament going really badly from the off, one tournament going really well from the off. The highlight of Sunday wasn't the winner. The highlight of Sunday was Aldrich Potgieter failing to win the Nedbank Challenge. I'll come onto why that was so important for me. The low light was Justin Thomas failing to finish second. The final three holes of the Hero World Challenge were really disappointing. So we're denied the dual forecast. I don't know how close to you were following it, Dave, but the dual forecast looked in the bag. I can't remember the last time I felt so disappointed after a winner, Dave. I appreciate you trying to perk me up there. Justin Thomas really let me down over those closing holes.
Well, listen, I'm here to keep your pecker up, Steve, right? That's what we got to do. Scottish Scheffler was brilliant. We've got two tournaments to look back on this week. You've already sort of touched on the Hero, and we'll look forward to the two tournaments this week. You are watching us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Steve, I'll try and bore you, if you like, by reading out some of the comments from last week's video. People that did follow you in. Matt Waller says, only played Scheffler to win and Thomas each way. Great wins, cheers. Giles Moore says, nice work, Steve. Another win and place banged in the Chef Ominous for 2025. He has to be the first leg of the ACCA, surely. Martin Tate says, what a great night. Nice bet on Scheffler. Paid for my Christmas. Steve, number one tipster in golf. Pete Bamford says, I'm just happy to have followed one of your tips and included McKibben in my fantasy league. I didn't make him my captain. One or two mentions. No need for the McKibben merch this week either, Steve. No. Has your love for McKibben waned in any way?
Yeah, it was hard for him to get going again. It seemed like he was mentally out of it, wasn't he? I mean, he obviously such a big moment securing that PGA Tour card. I thought a couple of weeks he would come back refreshed and ready to go again. But yeah, he just wasn't at the races. But yeah, we can discuss him later. He's playing again this week.
Right, let's first look back on the Nedbank then, shall we? This was won by Johannes Veerman, 35-1 winner. Talk to me about how this one unfolded. We had a bogey finish from Potgieter, I think is the pronunciation. Maybe you'll know better than me, Steve, but he crumbled at the end. And to your joy, I think you just said, did you?
To my joy, yeah. Veerman had been playing well. I think a lot of people might have backed Veerman last week. Form figures of 8, 14, 14, 27, 16, 1 now. So eye-catching current form, but his course form wasn't great. He'd only played there once before, missed the cut by a shot. So I considered Veerman and decided against him. I could handle Veerman winning. I just could not handle Potgieter winning because, he was the last name off the shortlist for a very foolish reason. And after Tom McKibben, who you mentioned, started playing so appallingly, just added to my anger at not being on the Potgieter. He was 100-1 day. He was 100-1 runner-up last week. So obviously the place return would still have been satisfying, but at least he didn't win, because the reason I put a cross through him was just a lack of awareness that he'd moved back to South Africa. He's only 20 years old. He's had a very busy life for a 20-year-old. Born in South Africa, moved to Australia when he was 8 years old, Dave. So I had him down as essentially Australian. You know, born in South Africa, represents South Africa, but those key formative years were in Australia. So I just thought, oh, he's essentially Australian. But then I subsequently found out during last week's tournament, he moved back to South Africa in 2021, December 2021. So the last 3 years, he's been playing in South Africa, playing in these conditions and playing some golf at Sun City. So you can imagine my distress, Dave, when I found that out. We should have been on last week, and it was absolute hell watching him, take a lead into Sunday. I felt like I'd let down the Racing Post community. I'd let down the Sweet Spot community. I'd let down my school.
You can't be across everything. I know you like to be when babies are due and everything that's going on, but it's tough. There's a lot of golfers out there, Steve.
There are a lot of golfers. There's not many as talented as this lad, though. But yeah, he bogeyed the last hole and I was just dancing with joy. I mean, it's so strange. By far the highlight of Sunday was a fella not winning rather than our number one tip winning in the evening. Now, yeah, that I sort of just expected. Pot guy to keep an eye on this lad. He's already won on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's got a PGA Tour card for next season. But he's South African. He is South African. He's not Australian. Yeah, it was a roller coaster ride that. But yeah,
you say keep an eye on him, but it's a tough finish, bogey to kind of snatch defeat from victory.
Yeah, but a young lad, and very aggressive. I mean, he was taking irons off the tee a lot of the time. He's so powerful. He's got a long, free flowing, super powerful swing, and he, around Sun City, lots of trouble. I mean, it can go very wrong very quickly around Sun City. And he missed a few drives, but he was taking irons off the tee to try and harness that power. And it all went wrong with a triple bogey. Triple bogey the 12th hole. And that was a par three. He made a six at a par three, just a couple of terrible chips and flop shots and whatnot. So, just great relief. But keep Pot Geiter in mind. And a lot of people will be eyeing him up for this week. Because he's playing again this week and we're still in South Africa. And he actually won the Africa Amateur title at Leopard Creek, where we're playing this week. He won that last year. So he's a course winner. But I assume he's really frazzled. He's not one of my selections because he must be frazzled. He had a three-shot lead on Sunday, Dave. He traded at 1.42 and then it all went wrong for him. So, final round, 75. For the Pot Geiter.
Right, well, anything else to add on the Ned Banks, Steve?
Just keep Johannes Veerman on your side going forward. He's a two-time DP World Tour champion now, 32 years of age, seems refocused. He went off to become a family man and really immersed himself in that. But he's come back and playing some great golf in recent weeks. So, yeah, Veerman's back on the radar and Pot Geiter even more so. Yeah, I can't stress enough that I think this fella has got the tools. Yeah, Korn Ferry Tour win in the bank. He was the amateur champion in 2022. So the world is his oyster.
Okay, good stuff. Right, let's move on to the Hero World Challenge then. Now, you was very strong. You couldn't have been stronger on Scotty Scheffler, who got the job done. Six shots, cruised home. Slightly different putting technique, though. We saw the claw appear, Steve. Did you expect that?
No, I did not expect that. And I think that first green was the only moment of concern that Scheffler backers had last week. You know, when the coverage came on and you see that he decided to switch to the claw putting grip, you know, I must admit, I raised an eyebrow or two in frustration because you don't want experimentation when you're heavily invested, do you? You want...
I was going to ask you, if you'd known that was going to be the case, would you have been so confident?
Well, I suppose I would have been less confident because, you don't know for sure, but it quickly became apparent that it didn't matter at all, did it? He certainly wasn't putting any worse. And then he ended the week third in the putting stats, Dave. So, that is frightening for his rivals because he had 2 months off. Normal people in those 2 months off would just put their feet up and relax, wouldn't they? Because, he'd won 8 titles this year. And, he's got a new baby. But Scheffler isn't normal, is he? You know, he's tried to improve his putting, which is obviously the weakest department of his game. And he's obviously been working on the claw, and it was really effective. You know, on the evidence of those 4 rounds at Albany last week, you know, that the claw's here to stay. He was putting conventionally for long lag putts. Did you notice
that? Yeah, I was going to say that. Longer putts, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great system that he's worked out. He putted well from distance and then really effective with the claw closer to the hole. So, if this means he's going to be a more consistent putter in 2025, then, God only knows how many titles he's going to win. He's won 9 this year. Magnificent last week, wasn't he? 25 under par. And bear in mind, there was plenty of breeze to deal with. 6-shot victory. He's the ultimate golfing machine. And, I love the man. He's won me a fortune over the last 3 years. And I'd be surprised if I don't back him plenty of times next year as well.
Now, I think I've asked you this question before. I mean, you mentioned, 9 from 21 or 22 events this year, which is just absolutely crazy. But we're looking at sort of Tiger Woods level dominance here, aren't we?
Yeah. And the concern for us really as punters, well, concern if that sort of thing does concern you, is he could be going off very short next year, couldn't he? He could be going off at Tiger Woods prices next year because, yeah, I think it's taken a while for bookmakers to realise that his performance level is Tiger Woods-esque. He doesn't carry that aura that Tiger used to have. Everyone wanted to be on Tiger, didn't they? You have Scheffler because he just quietly goes about his business. There's nothing flash about him. He doesn't seem to compel punters to back him like Tiger used to do. So, I think in 2025, we could be seeing some really short prices for Scheffler in certain events that he loves. That doesn't concern me. Does it concern you, Dave?
Not really. I mean, I like to take a price. Lots can go wrong in a golf tournament, but not for Scotty Scheffler. He's the guy's a phenom.
You like a 6-4 grade.
I enjoyed the coverage. I noticed a little bit of nappy factor chat from Tiger Woods. Did you manage to catch that, Steve? That was wonderful.
Yeah, I saw Tiger with his apparel on. He's still trying to push his brand of clothing, which hasn't taken off quite as anticipated. But yeah, I saw Tiger. He looked in. I think he wanted Justin Thomas to win, didn't he? Because he's very close to Justin Thomas. But
yeah, he was talking about the nappy factor. I expected the next words to come out and look out for these golfers back of each way next time. But he didn't get to that. But he was saying about, you bring a baby into this world, the feel good factor.
Yeah,
and that can kind of translate onto the course.
Yeah, it's nice to see Tiger. Yeah, sound like a human being. Yeah, he's usually such a ruthless competitor. I think those comments sort of suggest he's winding down completely as a player now. It was nice to see. I don't think the nappy factor was ever a huge thing for Tiger. He was so focused, he didn't even notice he'd had a baby. He was just hungry for trophies. But now he's a bit older and wiser. He's becoming a bit more humoured. But Justin Thomas. I mean, blimey, we can talk all day about Justin Thomas. Would you like me to talk about Justin Thomas?
Well, just on that, I know he didn't get the job done and he's not bagged you the dual forecast, but he'd been, and I mentioned this last week, he's been sort of out in the doldrums a little bit. But are we seeing a little bit of a resurgence from Justin Thomas?
Yeah, he had been in the doldrums. But he was the 7th best scorer in the Tour Championship. He was 2nd in the Zozo Championship and now 3rd in the Hero. So a lovely run of form. He should have finished 2nd last week and brought home the dual forecast bacon. I think it really highlighted how difficult it is to get a dual forecast over the line, because 2nd place didn't mean anything to Justin Thomas. He either wanted to win or he didn't care where else he finished. And the dual forecast was well latched onto. It's 20-1 on Monday. 18-1 by Tuesday night, 16-1 by Wednesday night, 4-7 on Sunday morning when I'm counting my winnings prematurely, and then no offers with 3 holes to play. When Thomas is 2 shots clear with 3 holes to play of Tom Kim, so I thought it was in the bag. But what happened showed how difficult it is to get forecasts over the line, because Justin Thomas needed a birdie on the 16th hole. He knows he needs a birdie to have any chance of winning the tournament. So a really aggressive approach goes a bit long with the approach just through the green. And ordinarily, very straightforward par, up and down for par. And I was just begging him to produce the very straightforward up and down for par. But obviously he needed a birdie. So really aggressive with the chip, Dave. Slammed the chip way past the cup. Missed the return putt. So I'm thinking, oh my God. It's a little bit dubious now. Then Tom Kim birdies the 18th hole, and then Justin Thomas pulls his drive into water on the 18th hole. So, bogey, par, bogey finish from Thomas, birdie from Kim at the last, and there we are. So I think we learnt lessons about how difficult dual forecasts are to get over the line. Maybe I shouldn't have invested so heavily in that. Needed a large bowl of crunchy nut cornflakes on Sunday night to get over that. Even though,
listen, you were reading off them prices Monday through to Sunday. I thought you was a new line of a Craig David song then. The dual forecast 7 days.
What a 7 on a Sunday!
It's tough finding the winner, Steve. Let alone the first.
I know. It's greed. It's a deadly sin. I should have been happy. And I just process these things. I always say to my lady wife, it's just a process. It's nothing to get worried about. You get so much of this chat these days, isn't there? We're all gambling responsibly, but obviously you're going to be a bit disappointed if your bet doesn't win. But I had a bowl of crunchy nut cornflakes. I processed it within an hour. I'm as happy as Larry again. So don't worry, guys. We can gamble responsibly and feel a little bit cheesed off when our bets don't win.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Right. Any other takeaways? I like the look of, I mean, he's not an up-and-coming player, but Batia, I love watching him play, Steve. And this is a force, right, on the golf scene?
Yeah, and he was so happy to get in the Hero World Challenge. And we mentioned all those withdrawals that allowed Batia to get in. And he, you know, obviously he worships Tiger Woods, and he was thrilled to be there. He's won in the Bahamas before on the Corn Ferry Tour. So, yeah, he really enjoyed himself. And you're right, he's a player to follow. He finished second in the Dunlop Phoenix on the Japan Tour the other day, fourth last week. Yeah, I think that, yeah, keep Scheffler on your side, obviously. I think Justin Thomas will win again fairly soon. And Akshay Bhatia just going from strength to strength. Yeah, a cocksure Californian. Remember, he turned pro very early. Didn't care about going to college and going the usual routes that are used. He believed in himself straight away and started winning PGA Tour titles. So, yeah, love Bhatia. And he's playing this week in one of our tournaments.
Lovely. Right, let's move on then to this week's action, Steve. And we'll start with the Alfred Dunhill Championship. Not to be confused with the Lynx Championship in a slightly different part of the world. We're still in South Africa. The role of honour here is like a who's who of South African greats. Charles Swartzel holds the course record. I think Oosthuizen is the defending champion. Talk to us about the track.
Yes, Leopard Creek Country Club. 7,112 yards, par 72, four par fives. A Gary Player design, opened in 1996. Hosted the Tour Championship on the Sunshine Tour from 2001 to 2004. Then the Alfred Dunhill moved to Leopard Creek in December 2004. It's remained there ever since. There was no Dunhill in 2017 because the course underwent extensive renovations that year. Scoring has been much tougher since those changes. We've got a firmer, faster track. Plenty of course form also to look at from the African Amateur Championship, which was at Leopard Creek from 2016 through 2020. And in 2022, 2023, and this year in February. A mixture of sunshine and clouds this week, gentle breezes, but it'd be extremely hot again, Dave. Temperatures reaching 40°C on both Thursday and Friday. A field of 156 going to post.
Yeah, not like the three layers I've got on here, I can assure you of that. Right, let's have a look at the show then. Oosthuizen is 9-1, Bezuidenhout 11s, Dean Burmester 12s. Tristan the Piston Lawrence 12s as well. How many in the team for this one, Steve?
Five selections. This is our final serious attack of the year.
Okay, right. Five selections then. We're off to South Africa once again. Who is the main pick?
Brandon Stone. 28-1, Brandon Stone. A resurgent Brandon Stone. He won his maiden DP World Tour title way back in 2016, the South African Open. His second DP World Tour title came in the Alfred Dunhill Championship later that year. It was a six-shot romp. He was looking like one of the best players in the world. Yeah, a youngster to follow. He won a Rolex Series event in 2018, the Scottish Open, you might remember. Closed with a 60, final round 60, four-shot victory. Then he finished 12th in the USPGA a month later. So everything was rosy in the life of Brandon Stone. But by 2022, he'd lost his form, he'd lost his confidence. He ended up back on the Challenge Tour at the start of last year, did some soul searching, worked really hard, got his DP World Tour card back, and he's playing some great golf again now. His last five tournaments have each yielded a top 20 finish. He was 10th in the French Open 2 months ago, 9th in the Genesis Championship, 19th in Abu Dhabi, 18th last week in the Nedbank Challenge, which is a really eye-catching result because his record at the Gary Player Country Club is abysmal. Four decent rounds last week in those tough conditions provided confirmation for me that the stone is polished again. Brandon is back in business. He'd be relishing the chance to tackle a course on which he is proven. He was 15th in 2018 after the redesign. He's got his swing back now. So, yeah, I expect a second Dunhill title on Sunday for Brandon Stone.
Okay, lovely. Good case made for Brandon Stone. It sounds like he's been on your radar for a few weeks, Dave, is he?
I used to love him back in the day. And, you know, he just drifted out of things and he got a bit carefree. He likes to enjoy himself, which is not a crime. And, you know, I just think he took his foot off the gas a little bit and enjoyed just touring the world with his girlfriend and going to lovely locations. And the golf just got lost a little bit. But obviously, when you drop down to the Challenge Tour, it really you know, it's a little slap in the face. It was a slap in the face for him, Dave. And, you know, he's resurgent. And, yeah, I love Brandon Stone. Long live Brandon Stone.
Right, he's the main selection. You go steady over there. Right, next best, then.
Laurie Canter. 22-1, Laurie Canter, who won the South African Amateur Championship in 2010. He's an Englishman, a Bath lad, always enjoys his trip to South Africa. He finished 34th on his Alfred Dunhill debut in 2015. He was ranked outside the world's top 1,000 at that stage of his career. His first look at the Leopard Creek redesign came in 2019 and he finished 14th, still ranked outside the world's top 500 back then. And then his affection for Leopard Creek was underlined in his last visit in 2022 when he finished third. He was in poor form coming into that event, Dave. He'd missed his last three cuts, but he closed with a 64 at Leopard Creek, outscored everybody in the final round. Canter spent some time as a live player, his family and his bank manager, extremely happy that he did that. His return to the DP World Tour has been a hugely successful one. He won the European Open at the start of June this year, a maiden DP World Tour title. He's played some excellent golf this year. He nearly earned a PGA Tour card through the Race to Dubai rankings. He finished 14th in the DP World Tour Championship. He was 21st last week in the Nedbank. A surefire contender at Leopard Creek for me. You know, he's got this habit of banking a nice juicy check just before Christmas every year. You know, his wife must love him. You know, he always finds a way of paying for a few Christmas puddings. He finished second in the Mauritius Open in his last event of last year. So, yeah, I think Canter's going to deliver for his family again this week.
Okay, right. It's Santa Claus Canter coming for Christmas. Just yeah. In time then. What price was he, Steve?
22-1.
22. So, yeah, looks like a solid each way play, that one. Right, we have got 5-2 down, 3 to go. Who's next?
Jaden Shaper, 30-1. The famous Jaden Trey Shaper, to give him his full name. We've been following this lad on Sweet Spot for, you know, since he was an embryo. He very nearly won this tournament for us at a massive price in 2020. Rounds of 69, 67, 67 got me extremely excited. He closed with a 75 to finish second. He was 19 years of age. He was outside the world's top 800 going into that event. He was outside the world's top 2,000 when he finished 42nd on his Alfred Dunhill debut in 2019. He's finished 26th and 7th in his two other starts at this track. Ideal assignment for him, this. And the last three starts of Jaden Trey Shaper have provided lots of encouragement that maybe his time has come. He's 23 years of age now. I was asking a lot from him when he was 19. He's 23 now. Maybe he's ready for the DP World Tour breakthrough. He was 17th in the Andalusia Masters not long ago, 37th in Abu Dhabi in top class company, and then 17th last week in a high class Saudi International. Weekend rounds of 64 and 67. Brilliant weekend's golf in Saudi Arabia last week. So yeah, maybe a coming of age moment for Jaden Trey Shaper.
Okay. He's one of your favourites then, Steve, is he? You've been following him. How many wins has he got on the tour?
He's a DP World Tour maiden. But he's contended so often in these co-sanctioned events. And we described him as the new Bernard Langer when he first came on the scene. A very precise player. I still think he's got the potential to have a Bernard Langer type career. But we need to start winning tournaments soon. So keep the faith in Jaden.
Yeah, I thought we had won a tournament. Obviously not. That was out on the Challenge Tour.
No, we're still waiting for Jaden Trey Shaper to deliver. The most significant moment has been. Axing the middle name. You know, when he first came onto the tour, he was on the leaderboard as Jaden Trey Shaper. So now he's just got Jaden Shaper now. But I like
that's his career highlight today. Okay,
You'd still rather
more to come. There's more to come.
What's your middle name, David? You got a middle name?
I haven't actually. No.
Oh, okay.
What about yourself?
John.
Solid.
It is solid, isn't it? Yeah, it's been passed down the generations, Yeah, my father was called John, and the father before passed down there. But then I brought an end to it by calling giving my
You've son's, just abandoned.
Well, he's Tiger. Tradition. We've gone from John to Tiger, so it's a bit of a flashy change from John to Tiger. But
maybe your son will go with Scotty. with his offspring.
Yeah, maybe he will. Maybe he will. Time will tell.
Right, we've got two to come. As I say, I hope the prices are getting bigger, Steve. Who else you got for
us? Of course, yes. Casey Jarvis, 70-1. Another sweet spot regular who has almost won us a fortune in the past. One of the best amateurs South Africa has ever produced. He proved he could handle Leopard Creek when winning the 2022 African Amateur at the track. Then he underlined that point by finishing seventh in last year's Alfred Dunnell. He opened with back-to-back rounds of 67 at a bad round three. It was a similar story when we tipped him at 300-1 to win the Joburg Open a couple of years ago. Fast start, went clear at the halfway stage, dropped back to ninth place over the weekend. Maybe now at the age of 21, yeah, I think maybe I was expecting too much from these guys too early. But at the age of 21, maybe Casey Jarvis is ready now for a DP World Tour breakthrough. He was the 2023 Sunshine Tour Rookie of the Year. He carded around a 59 during that campaign. He won his first Challenge Tour event in July last year. This year, made a decent start to life as a DP World Tour member. Highlights include 8th place at Krantha Thiar, 6th place in the Genesis Championship at the end of October. So we've got a class act here, massive future in the game. Fantastic each way bet at Juicy Odds.
Marvellous. And one more to come at Juicy Odds as well.
Yourav Premlal. Tough one to get out, but worth it. 100-1. Easy to back at 100-1. Another young South African blessed with bundles of talent. Finished runner-up to Casey Jarvis in that 2022 African Amateur at Leopard Creek. Premlal earned the status of number one South African amateur. Expectations were high when he turned pro in January last year. Did all right in regulation events in his homeland on the Sunshine Tour, but just couldn't make a cut in the co-sanctioned events with the DP World Tour. He missed the cut by a shot in the South African Open, missed the cut by a shot in the Alfred Dunhill, missed the cut by a shot in the Johnson Workwear Open in March this year. But since that Johnson Workwear, he slipped back into the form which made him an amateur star. In his last 18 tournaments, Premlal has posted 14 top 20s, including 8 top 5s. He won his maiden Sunshine Tour event at the end of September, finished 19th in an Asian Tour event in Qatar last time out, the week before last. So it appears that Premlal has settled into life as a pro now, been banking plenty of checks, laid a nice foundation for a successful career. Another 21-year-old at the age of 21. He may be ready for a DP World Tour breakthrough.
Well, that sort of price, you can have a few pennies on each way to find out.
That's it. Yeah, we got
firing some bullets at this one, Steve. You're firing some bullets.
5 each way plays. Get as many each way places as possible for the last two names I've tipped. The first three really, really solid investments. And then we can discuss all the market leaders that I don't like right now, if you wish.
Yes, fire away. Oosthuizen is the jolly.
Oosthuizen. 8-1, terribly short price for me, so difficult to trust, injury plagued, often lacking in motivation. You know, he'd rather be playing with his tractors on his farm than playing golf. You know, honestly, I'm not joking, farming is more fun to Louis Oosthuizen than golfing. So this is a lackluster 42-year-old. I can't be playing at those prices. Christian Bezuidenhout, 11-1 Christian Bezuidenhout. I mean, every time he got close to the lead last week, because he was one of the guys I was cheering on, like desperately hoping someone would beat Potgieter. Every time Bezuidenhout made a move towards Potgieter, he faltered. He hasn't won for 4 years. He's a course winner this week, but no appeal at short odds for him. Dean Burmester, 11-1. Terrible course record. Took him years to even make a cut at Leopard Creek. He gets distracted by all the animals. Have we mentioned the animals? You got we're basically playing golf in a giant safari park, and you've got
safari park, yeah,
elephants, rhinos, hippos, and that. And Burmester loves his animals. He does all he can to sort of save the rhinos.
That can't be a reason not to back him.
Honestly,
he's going to get distracted by the animal. Like, he's on his back swinging. Oh, there's a giraffe over there.
I promise. It's not just that. He's a real campaigner. So when he gets here, he doesn't really care whether he does well at all. He's trying to save the rhinos. I mean, there's about one rhino left in the world now, aren't there? Because of all the bloody lunatics going around shooting them. So he's like birdies for rhinos or something. It'll just raise money for the Save the Rhinos campaign. And honestly, I think it's a factor.
It's motivation. It's motivation.
Yeah, well, yeah, but his record suggests he struggles in this event. I can't play 11-1. And then Tristan.
The price is enough. What about Tristan the Piston?
Yeah, the Piston is probably the most tempting out of those top four, but they're all short prices for me. You have Thriston's course record, nothing to write home about. Decent effort last week, but I just wonder, after the Tom McKibben debacle last week, I wonder whether these guys who've got the PGA Tour card for next year, are they struggling to focus? It's a massive lifestyle change, isn't it? I'm now a full-time PGA Tour player. Like Thriston Lawrence is obviously, he's having one last knock in his homeland. If this wasn't in his home country, he probably wouldn't be playing. He's just having a little bit of fun this week, but his eyes will be focused on the PGA Tour. So he's not playing next week in Mauritius. So, I just wonder whether he's fully switched on for this one.
Should we move on then, Steve, to the other tournament this week?
Yes, sir.
Which on the website I read is the most inclusive tournament in professional golf. This is the Grant Thornton Invitational. Talk to us. We're in Florida. Before we get onto the course, format, what are we looking at here?
Format, okay, yeah, we've got 16 teams of two. It's a mixed pairs event, no cut, three rounds, starts on Friday. The first round is a scramble, which is the easiest format. Both players hit, then you pick your best ball, then you both hit from there again. So, you know, scores are really low in that one. The second round is foursomes, which is the most difficult format, you know, alternate shot. Then the final round, modified four ball. So both players tee off, then they switch balls. So your partner hits it to there, then you go to that ball, and then you play from there until the ball is held. So the best score counts on there. So a complicated format. Round one is crucial. You must go really low in round one. Round two's hard. Round three, somewhere in the middle. 26 under par was the winning total last year, but 16 under par was the first round lead. That says it all, really, doesn't it?
Right, talk to us about the course.
The Gold Course, Tiburon Golf Club, Naples, Florida, 7,382 yards from the men's tees, 6,595 yards from the women's tees, par 72, four par fives. And we had, we must mention, you know, it was the inaugural Grant Thornton last year when it became a mixed event. But from 2001 through 2022, it was the old Shark Shootout, which became the QBE Shootout, where you did have a few ladies occasionally teeing up in that, but it was large, you know, almost entirely a male event. There's no rough at Tiburon, generous fairways, but plenty of water to punish the seriously errant. And at the CME Group Tour Championship, which is the LPGA Tour's finale, big money finale, is at this venue. So it just played a few weeks ago. Sunny and pleasant conditions, light to moderate breezes.
Right, market leaders, Thitakul, Kim, 11-2, Korda, Finau, 6s, Henderson, Connors, 8s, and Kohde at 8s. I think they're defending champions as well, actually. How many bets for this one, Steve?
We just got one selection. And then I can talk you through the others that came close. But yeah, I've only got enough passion for one team.
Okay, well, give us the good thing.
The good thing. Tom Kim and Gino Titical. 11-2. 6-1 available on the enhanced win only if you can get that. Tom Kim was our enemy on Sunday when he became the meat in the Scheffler Thomas sandwich. But I think he'll be our hero this Sunday. This is a new team. I think it'll be an instant hit. It's full of positive vibes, Dave, which I think is important at the end of the season in this sort of tournament. These are two cheerful characters, always laughing. I think they're going to work extremely well together. Kim actually lived in Thailand as a teenager, a little known fact there. I don't know whether he played any golf with Titical then. Titical's a Thai. It's entirely feasible because they're very similar age. They may have played some golf together. Kim is 22, Titical 21. Both absolute prodigies, you know, brilliant from a young age. And they both love team golf. Kim has already established himself as a President's Cup legend, I'd say. You know, in 2022, he teamed up with Kyung-Hoon Lee to defeat Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns in foursomes. Then he played with Siwoo Kim and beat Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele in a four-balls match. So amazing President's Cup debut for Tom Kim. Then he won a four-balls match with Siwoo Kim in the President's Cup that's just gone at the end of September. Titical also likes pairs golf. She won the Dow Championship pairs event with Yin Runyon in at the end of June. At the end of June. That's like the LPGA Tour's version of the Zurich Classic. So she loves team golf. She won the pairs event, the 2023 Asia Pacific team event with Javeri Bunchant. So she's got form in pairs events. Kim loves pairs golf. These two, I think, are just going to get on like an absolute house on fire. And they're bringing their A games. They're both bringing their A games to Florida this week. Kim obviously finished second last week in a high class hero. He's finished second in two of his last three events. Closing rounds last week of 65, 62, 68. You know, it's easy to, we weren't worrying about Tom Kim after round one, Dave, last week. He was out with a washing. Finished like an absolute train to finish second. Titicol's LPGA Tour form figures from her last seven events, 4-2-7. 5-8-2-1, and the one came in the CME Group Tour Championship last time out at this week's venue. She held her nerve there to win at Tiburon, and she won the biggest prize ever handed out in women's golf, $4 million. Dave, she won $4 million, one shot victory. So, she feels like the queen of Tiburon, and she can cement that status this week. She used to be called a Taya Titicol, in case anyone's getting confused out there. She prefers to use her nickname Gino now. She's Gino Titicol. Rolls off the tongue a little bit better. She treated herself to a Dyson hairdryer, Dave, after winning that $4 million check. They obviously ask her, as they do with all these golfers who win fortune, anything you got your eye on. And there was this Dyson hairdryer that she liked the look of. So she got that. And then she went to Disney World to have a bit of fun at Disney World. So she's coming into this absolutely full of beans. And I think these two are just going to inspire each other. I think it could be good for the soul watching this tournament, Dave. I urge you to tune in. I think you'll see two young fellows having a wonderful time.
Lovely. Well, it sounds like she's going to have that big check swagger that we've spoken
about before. Yeah, big check swagger. It's like you after a night at Romford, isn't it? When you come out with your wheelbarrow of cash, you're swaggering off to your Fiat Punto.
We're talking about hair dryers. You're rocking some volume there, Steve. Did you get a hair dryer onto that?
Yeah, I could do with a Dyson hair dryer, couldn't I? I'm a bit cold today, so I've got a few layers on as well, and I got a challenging day because after work I'm off to Yeovil for the FA Trophy contest. So I'm sort of mentally and physically preparing for a trip to Yeovil, which is never pleasant. Hopefully,
and that's a big deal, right, for you tonight?
Yeah, it's a big local derby. It's going to be a tough FA Trophy game, but we live in hope that we can progress in that competition. So I apologize.
Get Stone Island on, Steve, and meet him on the terraces and all that. The local derby.
That's it. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting fixture. But my hair's not looking too great, is it? Maybe I'll put a balaclava on later, just to give me that air, of menace.
Right. Did anyone else catch the eye in this tournament, Steve? You make a good case for the market leaders.
I think there's lots of other teams that you'd give a chance to, but I just can't generate enough passion to back them. I think Kim and Titicol could go on to dominate this tournament for years to come. I think. Yeah, if they want to play in this every year, I think they're going to have so much fun. I think they're going to win, and I think they're going to come back next year and then come back next year. This could be how we pay for Christmas every year, Dave. I think the Kim Titicol combo could be potent, but there's other teams you have to respect. I mean, the market's given huge respect to Tony Finau and Nelly Korda. They're favourites with some firms. Dream Team on paper played together last year, finished tied for fourth place. I just got my doubts about Finau this time. Mentally, I don't think he's in a great place, Dave. I don't know if you've been following the court case. He's due in court next year. Some fella says that Finau owes him $16 million. I won't go into the details, but Finau's got a lot on his mind with regards to a court case that's coming up. So mentally, I don't think he's in a great place. Physically, I don't think he's in a great place. He had knee surgery on October 15th. Just cleared up the meniscus a little bit, but knee surgery on October the 15th. We haven't seen him since the President's Cup. He wasn't very good in the President's Cup. He only won 2 points. He got thrashed by Corey Connors in the singles. Finau was rubbish in the Tour Championship prior to that. And rumours have been rife that he's joining LIV. I mean, I don't know whether there's any truth in those rumours, but he's been the one.
I think he came out and denied it, though, didn't he? But he's got loads going on.
he's got loads going on. So yeah, there's a lot going on in here. And I just don't trust Finau to play his part in that partnership. So I much prefer my team to that team. If I was going to have another bet, it'd probably be a place only play on Corey Connors and Brooke Henderson, the all Canadian combo. They finished runner up last year. I could see him being runner up again. They're both in decent nick. But there's loads of teams, as I say, you could give a chance to, but do you want to risk your hard earned on? And I'm not sure. I mean, we talked about Bhatia. I love Akshay Bhatia. He's playing with Jennifer Kupko. That's a dangerous team. Maybe they'll finish third, but I just don't want to play. I don't want to play. Thigala, we must mention Sahith Thigala, highest ranked player on the field. And he's playing with an old friend, actually. Alison Corpers and him go back a fair way. So good vibes in that one. Thigala won the QBE shootout that we mentioned with Tom Hoagie in 2022. So the last QBA shootout that there ever was. Thigala won that. So yeah, I suppose you could give them a squeak. And the defending champions. Did you mention the defending champions, Dave? Jason Day and Lydia Ko. You can't rule them out, can you? I mean, Lydia Ko's got a great track record in that CME Group Tour Championship. But Jason Day finished tied last week in the Hero. Don't go too mad on this tournament because, as I say, there's a few teams you've got to respect. I'm going to go win only on my bet here because, you know, the each-way terms are a fifth of four. There are four teams that you could see beating Tom Kim and Taya Titicol, but I think they're the most likely winners by a significant amount. So, just a win-only play. But as I say, don't risk the Christmas turkey on it.
Well, you're putting up five for the other tournament. I quite like just the win doubles here. Five win doubles.
Yeah.
The 6-1, 11-2, whatever sort of price you're going to get about the second leg is just going to explode the prices, particularly for the big prices. So my play.
That's a nice
Steve, I think.
It's a nice play, Dave. It's a nice play. And you know, if you are going to play each way on the Kim Titicol, I have an each way double with Brandon Stone. I mean, that's a lovely each way double. The polished stone and the Kim Titicol, fifth of four. So, it's an exciting week, Dave. We're gearing up for a big finish now. We've got three events left, two this week, one next week. Hopefully get some sleep. I'll do Yeovil Weymouth tonight, and then I'm just going to sleep. So I still haven't caught up on the sleep from the Australian events. You remember those Australians? I missed three nights sleep in a fortnight, and I haven't recovered from that.
Having young children does not help that cause either.
No, and being a massively out of condition 46-year-old doesn't help either. I mean, I'm still feeling the effects of Australia, even a week or two later. But we're going to finish the season strong, Dave. No doubt.
Good. Right, let's have a roundup then. So we've got the Alfred Dunhill Championship and the Grant Thornton Invitational. We'll start with the Alfred Dunhill. Five selections. Name them.
Brandon Stone, Laurie Cantor, Jaden Trey Shaper, Casey Jarvis, and Yourav Premlal.
A reminder of the team that we're going with in the Grant Thornton Invitational.
Tom Kim and Gino Titicol.
Right, that is your show this week. Next week, we'll be back. We've got the Mauritius Open to tackle in the flesh as well, Steve. We're going to have a go in the Racing Post studio next week. It's been a while since I've even seen you. But we'll mix it up next week. So
I'll be there in body. I'll be there in body, Dave. Whether I'll be there in spirit, because it's the Racing Post Sport Christmas party the night before. I wouldn't bill it as anything too special next week because I could be struggling.
We'll see. As ever, enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly. And this time next week, we will see you next time.